Today is Tuesday, April 30th. The title for our devotional is The Church Empowered by the Spirit. This week, we're talking about how the Spirit of God empowers our ministry. Yesterday, we saw briefly how Jesus' ministry was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to look at another broad overview of the church in the book of Acts and how the Spirit of God empowered the early church. According to my quick search, the Holy Spirit is referenced 93 times in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is named as such to describe the Acts of the Apostles. The Spirit is so prominent that we should think of the book as the Acts of the Spirit through the Apostles. All right, that's wordy, so Acts of the Apostles is just fine. But that is how we should think of it. After his resurrection and before his ascension, we read Jesus' words in Acts 1, 4 through 8. It says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Here we see that Jesus tells his disciples to wait. Just like he waited in his life to begin his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism at 30 years old, the disciples are now to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit arrives at Pentecost, roughly 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. Imagine being the disciples here. Jesus has risen from the dead, you've seen him alive. You gotta be amped at this point, ready to go and bring the kingdom of God, as the question reveals, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus, of course, has a different picture of the kingdom of God that is much bigger than what the disciples here could have ever dreamed of. Then Jesus utters the dreaded word in our fast-paced culture, wait. We don't know exactly when Jesus said this in the 40 days that he was on earth after the resurrection, but the wait from the resurrection to Pentecost ends up being about 2 months. In the meantime, the disciples continued to meet together and to pray. They likely continued going to the temple and worshiping there. They also appointed an apostle to replace Judas. They continued doing the good work Jesus called them to while obeying his imperative to wait for the Spirit before going out to the rest of the world. On this verse, New Testament scholar Daryl Bach writes, "Effective ministry requires God's direction and enablement. The mission command provides the direction for the church, and the Spirit gives the enablement." End quote. Verse 8 reveals that the Spirit will empower the witness of the disciples. They aren't to be concerned with the end and the full restoration of the kingdom. Instead, they are to be obedient witnesses empowered by the Spirit of God. This witness will begin in Jerusalem, as we see in chapter 2 of Acts, with Pentecost and Peter's sermon and 3,000 people believing. And then it will go to Samaria, as we see in Acts chapter 8. Then to the ends of the earth, as we see as Paul reaches Rome at the end of the book of Acts. Again, it is the Spirit who empowers this mission, as the disciples were told to wait for the outpouring of the Spirit before beginning their mission. Waiting on the Spirit to move and do what only He can do is never easy. Now, as we've already discovered in this campaign, the Spirit has been poured out on all believers, and He is always working to some degree. But church history reveals that He moves in greater power at various times and locations at His choosing. We call these revivals. Earlier in the campaign, I shared John Piper's story of learning to sail. You can do everything to learn to sail and equip yourself for a good sailing experience, but when you get out on the water, you cannot make the wind blow. It's a good analogy of the church and the movement of the Spirit. In the church, we can drive in one of two ditches on this issue. We can either try in our own effort to make the wind blow and end up faking it or manipulating people into faking it in the process, as we see in many Pentecostal movements today. We can also grow tired of waiting and take control of it ourselves and try it in our own power, as many megachurches and traditional churches tend to do. This passage is a great model of ministry and how we can drive on the road in it. We should obediently execute the duties of the ministry that God has called us to while waiting and desperately praying for the Spirit of God to move. On this, I linked you to a video from Francis Chan. It's super cheesy. I've linked it to you before, so you may have seen it already. It's called The Big Red Tractor in the Little Village by Francis Chan. It's like a kid's story, but it's meant to illustrate what it's like doing church ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit empowering and moving the ministry of the church forward. So give it a watch. It stuck with me. Perhaps it'll stick with you as well.